Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the JMO Podcast. I'm your host, Taylor Michaels, and our guest this episode, we have Matt Johnson back on the show. Matt's from, I'll just call it the Metro of Minnesota. Matt, very well known. We've had him on many times. He's a longtime fishing guide, just a passionate angler, year-round angler. He's a multi-species guy, and I've had some great conversations with him in the past. He's an industry man. He works, he manages ice team, he works for Clam Outdoors. So, you know, we've had those conversations with him, you know, the ice conversations. We do a little bit. We kind of wrap up ice season for Matt this year. He had a lot of great outings and some great takeaways there. But the bulk of this conversation with Matt is just highlighting a great opportunity this year with an early ice out, targeting crappies between ice out and like the walleye opener. You know, there's definitely a crowd of people that do enjoy that opportunity. It's not a big crowd. We've addressed it a few times on this podcast over the years. You know, we kind of always make mention of it because it is a fun thing. It's something that I like to highlight anyways. But this conversation, I think we really get into it more so than ever because I think the opportunity is this year is more so than ever. We're going to have weeks. You know, it's like we're way over a month away from, you know, the walleye opener in Minnesota and Wisconsin. Like, you know, targeting crappies, you know, out of a boat. And you know what? As we talk about in this interview, it's not a sophisticated fishing conversation. We're just highlighting the opportunity and just how much opportunity there really is here in the Midwest. There's a lot of it. There's a lot of crappies and there's going to be a lot of open water that's accessible, and it doesn't have to be a big boat. You don't have to have forward sonar and a bunch of transducers in the water. Matt does a great job just highlighting the opportunity and just highlighting how simple we can do it. You know, it doesn't have to be sophisticated. We can realistically have a very small amount of tackle, you know, one rod setup can probably do the whole deal. And this stuff is happening right now. Like, as this conversation is happening, like, people are catching crappies out of canoes and kayaks right now, like in the metro of Minnesota. So this is a very relevant conversation, and it's going to be for a while. And I'm just glad that we can highlight it, you know, for what it is, and just a great conversation revolving around a great fishing opportunity that this year with the mild winter and the early ice out is providing to us. And so, yeah, a lot of silver lining, just a great optimistic conversation. It's been a little while since I had Matt on, so I was just glad to kind of get back in touch with him too. And so, yeah, let's do it. Ice out crappies with Matt Johnson. This episode of the JMO Podcast is brought to you by Scheels. Scheels is a one-stop shop retailer with all your outdoor needs covered. Scheels has all the top brands on inventory in every department and a knowledgeable staff known for great service. With over 30 locations across the country, you can find the nearest store by going online to Scheels.com. If you can't get to a store, rest assured all their best deals are online as well. So once again, head to Scheels.com for more detailed information. That link is in the description of this podcast. I kind of want to get like a little bit of a recap of like ice season. You know, you and I, like, it, traditionally I try to talk to you at least once a winter. This winter flew by for me even so fast. I mean, not to discount the fact that there's still some ice fishing going on, you know, especially north of the border, things like that. But I mean, you and I didn't have an ice fishing conversation this year. And so I was kind of hoping to, you know, maybe get a little bit of a status update from you, from your ice season, maybe some key takeaways, maybe just some, you know, just some decent, you know, talking points here just to start it off for a few minutes before we really get into this. You know, I want to talk spring crappies with you, but how do we wrap up and maybe from the ice season, man, what do you got for me?
Yeah, man, I'll be honest. One of our jokes that we've said this whole season is first ice. We had like four first ice here in central Minnesota, which is insane. I mean, I've been guiding 23-ish years and I've never seen a season like this. I was checking ice with a spud bar even through all of February, which is unheard of. My truck never went on the ice one time, which I can never say since I've been guiding. And there were spots you could have driven a truck further north, don't get me wrong, but I was never there during those times. I'm talking central Minnesota, Twin Cities. Not a person ever drove on the ice. It was crazy. And I joke about first ice because we had first ice in December, just like a traditional year. Made my trek up to Bemidji right after the show season, got on good ice, caught a pile of fish, had a ton of fun. Everything's looking up. Came back to the Twin Cities, got on the ice pretty much that same week on, you know, 3, 4, 5 inches, spud bar out, just like a typical year. Great bite, thinking, here we go. Well, then we kind of all know what happened. Rain, loss of ice, make some ice, rain, loss of ice, make some ice, warm weather, compromised ice. That was just kind of our pattern, was just always finding early and first ice, it seemed like. And
yeah,
you know, but here's the thing though, Taylor, that from my perspective, I'm a half a glass half full guy, right? I'm just an opportunistic. I try to stay positive. And the bite was great. So the fishing was phenomenal. Like, we caught a lot of fish, a lot of good fish. There was no one out there doing it, which from an industry perspective, not that good.
Right.
Not what you want to hear. I mean, many, many days, even on Saturdays in January, I had lakes to myself where there should have been, you know, 150 ice castles out there and people getting after it. I mean, it just, you know, kind of sad from that regard, but fishing was great. And that's kind of the vibe I've gotten from a lot of the guys and gals that did take ice fishing serious this year, did do their best to get out, did their due diligence. So they all came back saying, is it just me or was fishing really, really good? So there's that for a takeaway for sure.
Yeah, I first of all, you know, your positive attitude is always contagious. That's that I'm a big fan because of that. I enjoy, you're always positive with that stuff. And I think that plays into fishing. I could go on and on about that. I definitely share in that, glass half full all the time. I think that's a personality trait, like a character trait we could talk all day about, but I think that plays in fishing too. I think it's worth stating that, like, the type of guys that are out there with optimism are like catching fish and having the best time. That being said, though, I think you're spot on with the, you know, the early ice type of perspective that you're saying, like the first ice, you know, because like, you know, some people were just talking about how nice the weather was, that it was like, you know, they were fast forwarding saying, it, you know, it, oh, this is great March weather in February, or this is great March weather. I think it was more of an early ice vibe than a late ice vibe from the fishing, because everywhere I go, every conversation I had, all the fishing I did, there was weeds. There was, you know, there was a weed bite, you know, in a lot of places, talking panfish. There was, you know, it had that early ice vibe all the time, I felt like. What would you say to that? What were some of the patterns, some of the fishing experiences specifically, some of the outings that you just remember where it was, you know, that February, you know, January, February timeframe where you were just telling yourself as you were hooking fish, like, this feels like early ice.
Yeah, man, and it was. And that's kind of what we lived on this year was, okay, this is frustrating, but the bite's good, right? So, like, the juice is worth a squeeze. So, yeah, we got to check the ice. Yeah, conditions are poor. Yeah, I get it. Like, doom and gloom, the whole ice community is like, what the heck? But fishing was good. And, yeah, you're right, man. Like, every time we went, like, we all know that first ice bite is like magical, right? We get out there, not only is it fun, is it exciting, we're looking forward to it, we've waited, you know, 7-8 months since the last time we went ice fishing or whatever, and we got to experience that a bunch of times. Now, I don't know, everyone always asked me, like, what do you think the fish are going to do, what do you think's going to happen? And my response, honestly, is I'm a realist too, is I don't know. Like, none of us have seen this chapter in this book. Like, none of us, not even the 60-year-old veterans can look you in the eye and say they've experienced a winter like this.
Right.
So no one has like the book on the conditions this year and what the fish do. We kind of went out there and just kind of learned. We all learned from what this season brought forth, but you're spot on, man. We had phenomenal weed growth the entire year. Lakes are probably not going to winter kill, although we do have very low water. So that could play a factor in some of that. The pressure. I mean, last winter, let's rewind to last winter, ice fishing attendance was way down as well. And it wasn't because of temperature. It was because we had record snowfalls and people couldn't get around. And it was just difficult. So what you're looking at is two winters where in the epicenter of ice fishing, which is right here, right? Minnesota, Wisconsin, Dakotas, like, you know, 75% of ice anglers are right here in these four or five states. The lakes were, not I want to say untouched, but kind of. So
yeah.
What that tells me is we just had 2 years where these fish didn't get beat on during the winter months, where they're the most susceptible to overharvest. So I think we're going to have a banner spring. We're going to have a banner open water season. And God willing, next winter, we'll have some kind of normalcy. And the ice fishing season is going to reward us with some phenomenal fish catches, better than average size, because these year classes for 2 years didn't get pounded on and stripped from the lakes. That's just kind of, that's my theory in this, is that, you know, I bet you, don't quote me, I do not know the true percentage. I'd be willing to bet you 10 to 20% of pressure this year compared to usual years.
I bet you
it was drastically down. And maybe it's just a, you know, call it cliche or whatever. Maybe it's just God's way of saying, here you go, guys and gals. We're going to let these lakes reset.
Yeah.
You're welcome. So that's kind of where I look at it is, I think next year you're going to see a lot of people talk about, man, my average size crappie was so nice this year. Man, I was catching big bluegills again, where, sorry, the last few years we've had good ice during the COVID era. Everyone complained about the average size going down because of the amount of people fishing and how many fish are being taken out of the lakes.
Yeah, I think it's worth pointing out that optimism, reminding ourselves why we love it and getting ready for, you know, the next time around. So I appreciate all that. I love the chatter there, but, you know, spending a few minutes on that, you know, the reality is big portions of the Midwest, like where you're at, we're transitioning. It's like ice out, which is, you know, it's early. It's a little early ice out for big portions of the Midwest.
Yeah.
Not ice out everywhere. Okay. Right. Like there's a spectrum there to this conversation, but it's early ice out and we're quite a ways away from, you know, the big game fish opener, the walleye opener, whatever, where probably a lot of people typically just think that's when they're going to put their boat out. But we're going to have this season right here, weeks, where if you want to go fishing, you either got to, you know, come out to the Dakotas if there's some opportunity out there where you can target walleyes, go to some of these border waters. Those are all going to be great opportunities. But I wanted to call you, and I'm glad you were able to jump on this. I want to talk about something I probably don't give nearly enough love to, is like Minnesota ice out crappies, like cold water spring crappies. And I wanted to talk with you. You're right there. You're right there with it. You do it. You get it. I want to highlight that as an opportunity. Talk about just, you know, how many lakes and just how many crappies are down there, what the opportunity, the size of the opportunity really is. And then talk about how to find them and how to catch them, man. So let's get into that, dude. Like, this is going to be one of those years where we're going to have a tremendous spring open water season. Where does that start for you, man? What are some things you're thinking about, some things you're going to do? Where do we start with this, like, spring crappie ice out deal?
Yeah, it's crazy. So Lake Minnetonka, which is one of our most popular and one of the more pressured lakes in central Minnesota, just announced ice off the other day, and it was like 36 or so hours off of the all-time record, which was like almost 100 years ago. So extremely early ice out. You can ice or boat fish a vast majority, if not all, of the metro lakes at this point, and it's March 15th. My Facebook tells me on memories that I was ice fishing the last several years on this date, right? With no hope and prayer of even launching a boat. So the silver lining in that is one of my favorite times a year to fish is the springtime crappie, the open water crappie thing. I just love it. I think there's something special about it. A lot of us cut our teeth and got addicted to this sport off of panfish, whether it's a crappie or a bluegill. And the fishing's good. It's fun. My family loves it. The fish, if you like to harvest something, it's still cold water. They still taste wonderful. They can be challenging. Now, if you want to go rifle through 7 to 9 inches, sure. But if you want to catch quality crappies, what we call slabs, it's challenging. So right now you can launch your boat all over the place. I have a lot of people I know that are out catching crappies right now and having a whole lot of fun. This is crazy. And I mean, you look at the group, the Crappie Chronicles. I'm sure all of your listeners know who they are.
Oh yeah.
You've talked with many of them, right? So they have shown the world, call it what it is, what some of us have already known forever. And that's that in this part of the country, crappie fishing is phenomenal. I mean, the biggest crappies maybe in the ice belt, which we know of as anywhere that gets ice in the United States, the biggest crappies reside here in central Minnesota. I mean, you go to northern Minnesota, you go into the Dakotas, you don't hear of 16 and 17, let alone 18 inch crappies ever caught, right? 15, 15 and a half, maybe some 16 see the boards. But in central Minnesota, right here in the epicenter, you're hearing of 17s and 18s. You've heard of 19s. You've heard of true freak 3-4 pound fish. So the fishing here for crappies is phenomenal. Now, we're not on Lake Grenada down south where 2 and 3 pounders are the norm, but given the circumstances, we have phenomenal crappie fishing here in central Minnesota. And it's kind of grown in popularity. I'm seeing more young anglers, high school kids, college kids, mid-20-year-olds preferring crappies now as their main target species. And I think it's because, let's call it some of the tools we have. I don't think we need to get into the forward-facing sonar conversation. We don't have enough days in our time right now to do that.
But forward sonar is definitely encouraged, yeah. Like crappie fish. Like crappies were built for forward sonar.
Well, it's made it, I don't want to say it's made it easy, but one of my lighthearted jokes, and absolute no disrespect, just because of how I cut my teeth without it, is I've always said recently, you know, anglers with forward facing sonars now can be ice fishing guides, because all the work we put in for decades to find and pattern and stay on fish, one tool can do for you now. So, but that gives people opportunity, that gives people excitement, that continues to grow the sport. So all that aside, the crappie fishing right now is good. I mean, you can go out there, you can catch a bunch of fish. We can't target walleyes. We can't target bass here in Minnesota. We have a closed season. But you can go out there right now and until, I think, May 11th, whatever that Saturday is.
Yeah.
You can target crappie. So to go back to the initial point of this portion of the conversation, I love spring crappie fishing, and I get to do it for 2 months.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, it's going to be a weird year like that. Yeah, like we can cherish it because we don't get it like this all the time.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. And we're not going to think that we're deprived of it, you know, next time around. We're just, because we'll probably just be late ice fishing, like still going to find a reason, you know, way to fish or whatever. It's just going to be different. But being able to get the boat out early, yeah, it's like a silver lining, and it's an opportunity. It might be your home lake. It might be all the same spots you always fish. It might have been the spots you were fishing this winter or whatever. It might not be, but the fact that it's in a boat and it's this time of year is a new thing. You know, so it's like what's old is new. I think that there's a lot of great ways to look at it in that regard personally. Kind of like why I want to highlight it. And you said something there. I think moving forward in this conversation, I want to do it like this. Like, you're right. Like, in Minnesota or portions of Minnesota, like, crappie fishing, you know, any time of year. But, you can probably go out in those opportunities and catch numbers and sacrifice size. And then I think we're definitely learning enough to where if you are attacking size or you're looking for big ones, it's different pattern. It's probably a different conversation. I want to try to have both of them at least a little bit. We'll start with like numbers. What, in your mind, what's the easiest way? What's the easiest opportunity and strategy to go out and catch a bunch of crappies in the metro?
I mean, honestly, like if we're talking right this moment, you know, I have had this conversation with a lot of people in the last week because there's a lot of excitement. You know, the local bait shop, a scoop of small crappie minnows, a plain hook, a split shot, and a bobber is probably one of the most foolproof ways. Now, I'm a huge advocate, and you know this, and everyone that knows me knows this. I'm not a live bait fisherman. I use plastics. I use hair. That's me, right? But if I'm trying to put my friends or family or anyone on the best opportunity just to catch, yeah, bring a couple scoops of crappie minnows, support your local bait shop, get some thin wire hooks, get some split shot, get some bobber, go back to our roots, and you will catch fish. I mean, it's pretty hard for a crappie that's 7 inches or 14 inches to resist a crappie minnow bouncing in their face. And this time of year when conditions are cooler, cooler meaning fishing behavior, fishing patterns, maybe lethargic fish, cooler on you as anglers where you're cold out there. Well, the nice thing about a bobber and a minnow is you can chuck that thing out there, put your glove on, and you're not working a bait back to the boat the whole time with cold fingers. You can fish with gloves, let the minnow do the work, pay attention to your float, and catch some fish. So that's a very easy and effective way to catch fish. You know, now I have always found that where I fish here in the Twin Cities, we have your quote-unquote metro crappie, your metro panfish. And then the joke is they're small, right? They're stunted. And that's the joke oftentimes is true. We have a lot of small 7, 8, 9, 10-inch crappies in our lakes. That's the most abundant size by far. We don't have the Bemidji area average where 11, 12 inches is what you look at. Those are our really good ones. So if you want to go out there and have a good time, like I get clients that are like, Maddie, I'm bringing my clicker. We got to catch 100 crappies or bust. And I'm going to be, well, buddy, you're probably going to catch 85, 7 to 10 inches. let's just be a realist. And you're going to catch 15 to 20 that are going to be 10 to 12 and maybe a rogue 13. And I'll get another client that says, all right, Matt, I'm not here to catch numbers. I want to catch good ones. Well, we're going to treat that like we do anything else. You're not going to fish, you know, sanctuaries. You're not going to fish nurseries. You're not going to fish where the abundance is. You're going to target bigger fish. You're going to get after it. So it is a yin and a yang. It depends on what you want the outcome to be. Now, I'm not going to say, and I've done this before too, where you rifle through 100 fish in a day and holy cow, half of them are big. You know, the right school moves in at the right time. That's a very realistic outcome as well that can happen in the springtime. These fish are just looking right now for temperature. Everyone thinks all these fish that are moving shallow in the coming weeks are doing it to spawn. That is not true. They are not spawning right now. They are not going to spawn next week or the following week. They are trying to find the warmest water because it's comfortable. The bait fish is there. There's a number of variables that draws into that. They're not moving into spawn. Everyone will say, oh, they're coming into spawn. That's not the case. Even if you got females with eggs, they're not in there to spawn yet. That'll happen a few more weeks down the road. But what I'm saying is that biomass of fish from all size types will probably come in at some point and use that warm water in the coming weeks. And you may just find yourself on the receiving end of a better pot of fish where you're like, wow, the average size is really nice right now. So again, another notch in springtime crappie fishing that makes it exciting is that, you know, unlike other times of year where you get over a community hole, let's say ice fishing, you and I both know we're going to just rail through a bunch of rats. These are all going to be little fish, but you know that you're like, I'm just going to go to the community hole. Springtime fishing doesn't necessarily always have to follow those same standards, which in my opinion gives, you know, average anglers, with all due respect, an upper hand to catch better quality fish even in the spring, because these fish don't act the same as they do in the winter. They all try to find that warm water, and you can capitalize on various size structures of fish in the springtime, or in the wintertime, you just know all I'm going to catch on this deep basin hole are a bunch of 8 and 9 inches.
Yeah.
If I want bigger ones, I'm going to have to go work for it. Springtime, I don't always believe that's the case.
This episode of the Jable Podcast is brought to you by Shields. Shields is a one-stop shop retailer with all your outdoor needs covered. Shields has all the top brands on inventory in every department and a knowledgeable staff known for great service. With over 30 locations across the country, you can find the nearest store by going online to shields.com. If you can't get to a store, rest assured all their best deals are online as well. So once again, head to shields.com for more detailed information. That link is in the description of this podcast.
man. Everybody just gets so much better at fishing in the spring. You know what I mean? It's like as soon as you have that like 80 fish day and about 10 of them are, you know, bigger than 12 inches, it's like, man, I really leveled up this year. Nobody ever gives the fish that credit or anything like that. Everybody just takes that credit, you know. But you're right. And you know, if you're really self-aware, then you can see it. The opportunity for what it is, with, you know, I just like, again, just highlighting it that, I just like it. I like that the opportunity is there. It's not sophisticated fishing. Typically I really think, like, you know, so many other conversations, you know, like, or especially like walleye conversations, you know, there's just that the versatility as an angler can just be, you know, can be so huge. You know, throughout the day, you got to make changes. It's all about decisions. It feels like spring crappies. I feel like we don't have to get sophisticated in the information. We just need to highlight it. We just need to bring it to light. Yeah. And just show it for what it is, and just hope that people go out there and do it, because it's such a fun deal. And we don't get an early ice out in the Midwest all the time. In fact, I just think about, you know, whatever, I don't keep track of the years or whatever, but it's 5, 6, 7 years ago. Just in the last 10 years, there's been multiple times where we were wondering if ice was going to be out by the opener in Minnesota. You know?
Yeah, you're spot on. And you mentioned something about simplicity of gear and everything, and you're so right. And I look at like boats, right? You know, you and I both know there's guys out there that have $500 boats. There's guys out there that have $150,000 boats. And one cool thing about crappie fishing is you don't need an expensive, fancy boat to do this. You're not fishing the middle of Lake Mille Lacs. You're not on rivers. You're not on big waves. You're not... You know, this is where I think everyone can shine. You may have that duck boat behind your garage that's got that 15 horse, and you are probably more effective springtime crappie fishing than the guys with the $150,000 deep V, big honking 400 horsepower motors, because them duck boats can get back into the back channels and the nooks and the crannies and where all these crappies like to go and sit and hang out. So it's that time of year where I think the entire playing field is leveled.
Yeah.
And I love it. And like, I'll tuck back into a cove on Minnetonka in my Lund, and I'll see all walks of life, from kids in paddle boats and canoes to professional bass anglers in wrapped boats to pontoons to kayaks. And you know what? No one's at an advantage in terms of the vessel they're on at that point. Everybody's just having a good time catching crappies, making the most of it. I just saw Sam Sobiec, who I know you've talked with over the years, YouTube guy. Him and a buddy, I think it was him and Brock, or maybe him and Hayes, one of the two, I can't remember. I just saw on social media, they did the whole like kayak crappie thing the other day. And I just was like very jealous watching it on social media. I'm like, dude, they pounded them. They both were holding up stringers of crappies, and it was like March 13th, and I'm like, this is awesome. Like, man, I want to be doing that right now. And there's a perfect example. Sobey's got a $70,000 Vexus sitting in his garage, right? But no, he's out there in kayaks, life jacket on, going back to probably the stuff he did as a high school kid where you couldn't knock the grin off his face.
Yeah.
And extremely effective.
Yeah, and that's what this opportunity does. Yeah, that's what I'm kind of overstating it. I get excited or whatever, but like, I think that is so worth stating. You know, like, there's somebody that has the boat in the garage, but, and to your point, you know, and this is probably a very relevant, you know, point to make. You know, a lot of people listening to this probably have at least some type of a boat and it's got transducers on it. But when you get back into these, you know, shallower bites and it's spring and it's clear, cold water, like, you know, keeping those transducers out of the water, you know, or, like, you know, that's where those guys at the canoes, probably the biggest difference. I mean, for one thing, they don't have like an outboard with a prop in the water, but they're paddling in the water. They're breaking the surface, whatever. I'm sure there's fish that are real close to them that detect them, you know, in a similar way as a small boat. But getting those transducers out of the water, or just, you know, like Sobey, he's such a humble guy. Like, he fishes so much. he's got all this nice stuff, but he keeps himself humble by just looking at some of these opportunities like, man, I'm just going to get in a canoe with my buddy like I would if I was 14. And you know what? Like, if I was 14 and I saw that, like, I'd be inspired. I'd be like, yeah, like,
yeah,
like, let, like, yeah, dude, like, that's what I should be doing with my time because it's great. And you know what? Like, it's just not going to be like this all year. Like, we're not going to be able to, you know, this isn't a conversation we have in the summer. You know, I mean, I'm sure you can catch crappies somewhere in a canoe, but this is like a time of year where it's kind of best, or it's yeah, like, it's the time to do it. And it, and you're like, you're being, you know, relatively like you're one of the more effective vessels on the water. So yeah, like I get excited about it. I think it's a really, really cool opportunity. And yeah, you're spot on. That stuff fires me up too when I see other people doing it and talking about it. Let's talk about like some, you know, get back into the presentation game. I can't do podcasts anymore without, you know, I like to talk a little bit of gear. It, personally, I like talking gear, getting into the specifics. I think a lot of other people get a lot of takeaways from it. You know, like, you know, we're highlighting the opportunity. It's a fun, awesome opportunity. But, you know, outside of just that thin wire hook and a crappie minnow, you know, you talked about it when you're targeting bigger ones or you're just trying to be more efficient and cover water and cycle through more fish. Talk to me a little bit about some of those gear decisions that that you appreciate in your boat with your kids, you know, to kind of make you more efficient, target, you know, maybe a bigger fish. Just some of those decisions, man. Go ahead.
Absolutely. Hey, real quick to touch on keeping it simple. Right now, all the gadgets on our boats, all the fancy graphs, all this and that, all I need right now, to be honest, is my GPS and something that tells me the water temperature. And I'm good to go. Like, I could probably not even turn my sonar on in any way, shape, or form and be effective in the spring because it's all temperature-driven stuff. And we oftentimes, you mentioned get the deucers out of the water. You're spot on. Like, I mean, too many times do we just stare at that stuff. When these crappies start to go and find warm water, all I care about is my GPS so I can see where I'm going, these nooks and crannies and all this good stuff. And then what is the water temperature? Because as I tuck back into these coves and these channels and whatever, I'm looking for an increase in water temperature. And if it doesn't do that, I usually get out of there. That alone can take away some guesswork. So those are things. In terms of efficiencies, hair jigs, man. I've been a huge advocate for hair jigs for a long time. And I say that because, you know, I just mentioned 15 minutes ago live bait and how that can make the time on the water more effective and easy, right? But if you want to be the most efficient, hair jigs, because I'm not rebaiting. My plastic isn't tearing up. The only time a hair jig becomes non-effective is when a pike bites it off and you have to retie. Otherwise, I will use the same hair jig all day on 100 fish a day if nothing breaks me off. Now, that is the epitome of efficiency, right? Like, I don't have to retie. I don't have to rebait. I don't have to put a new plastic on. I don't have to worry about anything being off kilter, missed action. So my kids got into tying hair jigs a few years ago, and they love it. I love it because now I'm not buying them, right? I get them some raw materials. I get them some jig heads, and away we go, and they tie them. So I think hair jigs are very underutilized in the open water because a lot of people right away think of plastics. Like, if they're not doing the live bait thing, they're probably doing some kind of plastic. Yeah. Well, I take it one step further, and I fish plain hair jigs. No bait. Don't tip them with anything, plain hair jigs. I have found that to be efficient 90% of the time on crappies, and I can catch them on it. So that's an easy one, especially for the kids. I'm not putting weight on there above the hook. I don't do the split shot thing. I use a tungsten jig. I use a Clam Pro Tackle Drop TG 1/32 ounce jig head, and I have my kids tie all the hair onto those. So I'm not messing with another split shot above. I'm fishing. I like the rocket bobbers. I just, you know, I know they're very heavily commercialized, but they just flat out work. I can cast that darn thing a country mile. It's it's a cheat code for the guys and gals that want a bobber fish. You just watch that thing pop up. You know you got a fish, and I'm not fishing a live bait minnow, so I know it's not that. It's super easy for not just my clients, but even me. I prefer it. So super easy way. So those are some super efficient things. Hair jigs, an effective bobber. I think one thing we don't think about enough as open water anglers is right when we can get into the boat, we right away think about, again, plastics, 2-inch plastic minnows, tubes, bigger jig heads, all this stuff. And just a week or two ago, we were on the ice using, you know, 4 millimeter jigs. Yep. And finesse plastics and maggots and spring bobbers and 2-pound test line to get these fish to bite. And then here we are, fast forward 10 days, 2 weeks into the boat, and we're using 4- and 5-pound test line and long rods and 16-ounce jigs and 2-inch tubes. And we're going, man, they're just not chowing yet. Well, they haven't changed their activity level a ton in the last 10 days.
Yeah.
Water temperatures haven't changed a ton. Like, you and I wouldn't go on the ice, late ice, with 5-pound test mono, a 1/16-ounce jig head, a 2-inch crappie tube, no spring bobber, and expect to be overly productive. So your ice fishing jig box should be with you those first few weeks of open water. I mean, I'll fish a size 10 drop kick jig with a Mackie minnow on it right away at early open water season, you know, and I'll use maybe a 8-pound braided line with a 3-pound fluorocarbon or mono leader, just like I had ice fishing. And I'll tell you what, Taylor, there are so many days where those guys thinking that way absolutely destroy their buddy in numbers because their buddy's fishing 5-pound line, which I do a lot during open water crappies, but not right away. But you and I wouldn't be caught dead using 5-pound line for crappies through the ice. So we just don't, we don't think that way. So one thing I've been pushing the last week to a lot of people I talk to is don't neglect the ice tackle right away here when you get out for the first few times after the ice comes off, because those water temps are only 41, 42 degrees. You know, now when we start talking 50 and these fish really move in, yeah, they're gonna eat a daredevil. I mean, them darn things just get hungry, right?
Yeah. But
right now, don't pack away all your ice gear. Get your Mackie plastics, get your tungsten ice jigs, put on some 3-pound test leader material on maybe your 5-pound, 6-pound test crappie rods, you know, things like that. I mean, if you're fishing weed lines, you're fishing basins still, and that's where you're finding some of your crappies, which they are, that's where some of them are right now. Dude, get your Jason Mitchell meat sticker dead meat rod out, the ice rod. Get your 36-inch ice rod over the side of the boat, and I promise you, you'll be more effective than your 7-foot light action whatever. And we just don't think of that, you know, especially if you're on top of these fish and you're vertically jigging them. I'm going to whoop your butt with a 36-inch dead meat rod and 3-pound test line. If you're going to be using a 7-foot light action rod and 5-pound line, I'm going to whoop you if it's a vertical jigging bite right now.
Oh,
so
yeah.
So those are things we just don't always think about. We just automatically think open water and all the cliches that come with it, and all the ice fishing gear gets packed away. But I guess my point is, don't pack that away for the next few weeks. Make sure you have some of that stuff in your arsenal, because I promise you, you're going to encounter a day where you're like, oh, the crappies just weren't biting. And I'm going to ask you, what'd you use? Did you put your ice fishing hat on? And more often than not, that angler's going to go, no, I didn't. Well, you might have missed on an opportunity.
Yeah, you answered my next question, and that was that, you know, the thing that we're not thinking of, like, is that in the spring, you know, we're excited that the opportunity to get in the boat and all the optimism with it. The reality of fishing is that not every day is awesome, and you addressed it. You know, it's like, just be prepared. Let the fish tell you what they want, and not every day is like the best, most monumental day of fishing ever. I mean, we're highlighting this opportunity because it is really cool. And I mean, I believe that's absolutely true. And this is going to be one of those years where you can absolutely capitalize on it probably a bunch. but not every day they're just completely jumping in the net. And so just, you know, being prepared to be a little finessey if they want it. And I think you're spot on. If somebody just can't wrap their head around, you know, like being light and getting a setup with that, just bring your ice rods. And it'll
absolutely,
you know, like, you know, and I think tungsten, I mean, you're mentioning it. I'm going to double down on it. I think the tungsten deal is worth mentioning. That's, you know, when you talk about, you know, the bobbers and matching, you know, jig weight and tying flies on the, I mean, like the efficiency and just the practicality, the tungsten, you know, it costs money. You know, you use them during ice season. Open water season, they should absolutely come with you, especially in the spring. And you're going to enjoy casting them a lot better. You're going to, it's just as much of an efficiency, I guess, in my opinion. I do it. I'm absolutely an advocate of bringing the tungsten, specifically the tungsten jigs, from your ice, from your late ice arsenal to your early spring stuff.
Absolutely. But, and I'm not saying you need to, don't get me wrong. I want the listeners to think, well, Matt, you're a cuckoo. I'm not casting around with these ice rods. I'm not casting bobbers and stuff. That's not the intention, right? It's a vertical jigging application when I'm finding fish on weed lines or out in the basin. That's where I'm going with it. But yeah, you're
and if you're in a canoe, like, you know, if you're in a small 100%. Vessel, if you're in a small vessel, sometimes we're not hardly casting, or you're in your seat the whole time because standing up ain't the deal. I mean, yeah. And I hope that somebody listening to this has a canoe that they haven't had out in a while, or they've got a young kid in the house or whatever. And it's like, you know what? Light bulbs should be going off for this. And yeah, like, these things are more practical than you think. You just got to get out there and do it. And you realize, yep, like, some of this stuff is a little more practical than you think. I mean, it's just that perspective of, like, if you're that person that has that ultralight setup, but you just can't get it out of your head that you're going to throw a 3.5-inch paddle tail on, you know, on big mono. And I think you're right, too, with that plastic and those hair jigs. One thing I've seen, too, is, like, you know, everybody's gonna have sort of a balance or a blend of all these things. People are listening to, you know, strategies for catching numbers versus size. Usually it's a blend. Usually you might kind of spend half of your day chasing big ones, but when you get, you know, when you want to actually catch fish, then you kind of switch over. Like, usually every single day encompasses a lot of these things. But I think that those hair jigs, if you did feel like you had to resort to live bait, those hair jigs will host, you know, a tip with a minnow a lot better than something with a big plastic on it.
Oh, for sure. I mean, we all grew up at some point. I would bet that most listeners that are, you know, not to date ourselves, our age or older, or even within 10 years of us, know and have used a flu, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's been a trademark crappie jig forever. And so many years as a kid, I would fish a flu and a minnow and be just fine. So like you said, if it's a confidence thing and you still need to build that confidence, certainly you can double down on both and grow up your confidence level. But I can tell you this, when the bite's neutral to good, they're just going to choke the hair jig without anything on it. And you're going to learn real quick that, my hand's not going back in the minnow bucket. So that's always been my encouragement. And that's how I teach my clients is, I'm going to lean on your confidence, and if your confidence is live bait, certainly we'll start there. But by golly, before this day is over, you're not going to be putting your hand in the minnow bucket anymore. And those are just some of the little nuances I try to have them take away. But we're very spoiled. I mean, the springtime crappie, and you made a comment halfway through the podcast, which I kind of chuckled at, like, this is the time of year where everyone's a hero, right? Like, everyone's good at it. Like, yeah. and then the fish spawn and they move out and everyone goes,
where'd they go?
Oh crap. Crappie fishing kind of crummy now, you know, yeah. It's like Mille Lacs. Like, I'm a professional walleye angler when I go to Lake Mille Lacs. Anywhere else I'm garbage. So it's fun, but yeah, man, it's a good time of year to get out there. And you mentioned chasing bigger fish and some things we do differently. You just have to pattern them differently. You got to get out of the rut. Like, I'm not going to – now, you can tuck it back into a boat harbor on Minnetonka next to 15 other boats and catch a 14-inch. Don't get me wrong. It happens every day out there. There's big fish that move in. But generally speaking, much like big bass or big walleyes or whatever, they're not sitting around the biomass of fish. They're more specific. They're more structure oriented. There's a reason as to why they're here, there. So you need to kind of get off the beaten path and do some of your own exploring and try to find where some of these fish are. And sometimes these bigger fish use specific pieces of structure only at specific times. And I say that because, especially I'm talking Lake Minnetonka. Let's just continue on that pattern since that we've mentioned it a few times. These big crappies will group up and they're utilize some of the same structure these small fish use, but just in small windows, maybe a specific day, maybe a certain time of day, they'll use this stuff. So my takeaway on this is, what is your goal? I've always told this to anybody in springtime crappie fishing. What is your goal for the day? Is your goal for the day to windmill as many as you can and make sure that bobber's always going down? Is your goal for the day to try to catch some better quality fish? Because by answering that question, you may go against one of the biggest rules of fishing, and that is you don't leave fish to find fish. Well, when it comes to springtime crappie fishing, if your goal is to catch big ones, I promise you on numerous occasions, you will be leaving fish to find fish. You will be leaving the nursery where 7 to 10 inches are the norm to go find bigger fish. And you have to put that mindset in your brain where you may go to a spot and catch 20 fish and leave. You may go to the next spot and catch 30 fish and leave. You may go to the next spot and zero and go to the next spot and zero. But that is what you have to put into your brain if you want to be a successful early season crappie angler on better quality fish. It's just how it is. So that's something I always tell people is, are you mentally prepared to leave fish to find fish? Because we're taught through all of our teachings, don't ever leave fish to find fish, right? But that's not always true as tournament anglers in bass and walleye, in crappies. As you know, you must leave fish to find fish to catch the biggest ones. So that's something you always want to put in your brain during springtime crappie fishing is mentally be prepared to, oh, I know I just caught 20 and boy, was that fun, but these aren't that big. Time to move on.
Yep. Yeah, man. Just having that open mind. I think it's just great. I love that, you know, just having the opportunity to highlight this opportunity this year. You know, it's kind of a Minnesota deal. It's a Minnesota conversation, but anywhere that there's crappies and anywhere that there's an early ice out this year, it's just, you know, just be thinking about the opportunities. Think about the silver lining. You know, we're losing out on late ice. We had nothing but early ice the whole season. But yeah, I just think that, and don't judge the opportunity based on, you know, the quality that you think it is or whether or not you can get your big boat in there or if you're, you know, whatever, like, you know, the fish aren't going to care for this opportunity. They're not going to care how expensive your boat is. They're not going to care about that stuff. We don't have to over, you know, sophisticate the thought process for just getting out there and doing it and probably having a super good time. And at the end of the day, if you have a tough day, you can at least go home and tell your family that, you know, gosh, it was just really, really great to be outside fishing on open water, you know, in March. Yeah, I mean, like I was talking to a guy down in Iowa here. He had his boat out. There was still half a sheet of ice on the lake he was on, but it was like the last day of February. And, you know, I mean, just there's just some of those things that are a little more unprecedented this year that we can just, you know, I think it's just important to do it. You know, we just got to do it and do this stuff and not let it pass you by. It's just, it's cool. It's fun. And, yeah, I think, you know, in Wisconsin, when they shut the season off for walleyes and northerns and bass and stuff, man, fishing isn't done. Like fishing doesn't like cease to exist until, you know, it opens up again in May. Like, if it does for you, then I mean, you know, God bless you, because the rest of us that are going to take these opportunities are just going to, you know, just more for us.
But, absolutely.
But anyways, yeah. Right on, man. Well, that's it, dude. That's the time. Like you said, we could have gone down rabbit holes on this, but feel very accomplished that we're just highlighting this opportunity. I want people to listen to this, even if they're not a hardcore crappie angler per se, but just realize that the opportunity is really, really cool. It's right down the road from so many of us, you know, especially the southern half of the Midwest right now. It's open water. The lakes are opening up. And you don't have to wait 6 weeks to go fish walleyes or whatever it is on the calendar, whatever, you know.
Right.
There's tremendous fishing going on. Super, super fun. You can probably scrounge whatever you need in your tackle box, you know, incorporate a little bit of your ice tackle into some of your, you know, the bottom of your slides in your boat, and you can figure out, you know, you can mish and mash if you're not, if you don't have a ton of crappie setups. But, you know, I love your recommendations. Yeah. With just be advised, let the fish tell you what you want, and don't be scared to, you know, have a bit of an ice, you know, so kind of an ice setup flavor. If it's a tougher day, the 2 pound test is going to play, and the smaller jigs are going to play on certain days, and not every day they're jumping in the net. So that could be a serious factor. If you get out 3 or 4 times, half of your outings might end up being those finesse type deals, and being prepared for them is huge. And I love all the recommendations, Matt, and you're there, you're living it, you do it. You're that's where you're at, and that's going to be this year. That's going to be a big opportunity this year. So I really, really appreciate you having the time, man. And I get fired up. I like talking to you. You know, you and I, glass half full, always get fired up for whatever it is. There can, you know, burning building behind us, but I'm always looking ahead and just, you know, seeing some little fun little opportunity to do a little something, or at least talk about it. And I get a lot out of these conversations. So, man, I appreciate it. And I'll let you go.
Dude.
Time is up. So until next time, Matt, dude, I really, really appreciate it. And I'll let you go for real this time. We'll sign it off with, if anybody has questions or inquiries or any content you want to promote, man, go ahead.
No, man, I think we're dialed, buddy. It was always a pleasure chatting with you. Time to go catch some crappies. Have some fun. Have a great open water season, everybody. Like we said, it's early. It's awesome. We're going to go have some fun. There's a lot of fish to be caught. One blessing of a poor ice season and one guarantee every year is we will have open water season. That is a 100% guarantee. Let's go out and make the most of it.
That's it, man.